Hey, y'all, welcome to another episode of the What's Happening with Carolina Chuck podcast. Please, please, please hit that like and subscribe button. It would be freaking awesome. My guest today is my boss, the GM at Fred Caldwell Chevrolet. But the reason he's on today is what I admire about him is the way that he does business and his genuine care for customers and the community. Mr. Martin McKinley. And this you is swinging my hands, singing and dancing, saying you the man. And this you was, now I got her hooked, asking about the hotel.
I'm going to your butt.
You know, what you need is some of that hysterical respect. Know what I mean?
We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Take it away, Junior.
Let's get in this.
Let's go. All right, so while we got everybody's attention, we got the car show coming up. I ain't never been to this car show.
Nope.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, your maiden voyage will be pretty awesome. We clear the whole lot off. We usually stock, what, 130, 140 cars total. Mm-hmm. We will have 187, or at least we did last year, 187 classic show cars this Saturday.
Really?
Yep.
How long has this been going on?
I'm going to go with 4 or 5 years annually.
Really?
We always wait until the hottest day of the year.
Nice.
And then we knock it out.
I'm sweating right now setting all this stuff up. So we got like vendors and stuff coming too? I see there's
Yeah, I think we have a nice Port-a-John trailer.
Nice.
Necessity. I think it's air conditioning. Pelicans will set up. The Rotary Club of Clover will serve hot dogs at a ridiculous discounted price. It'll be a show.
Nice.
We will get our steps in.
Yeah, cool. I'm cool. I mean, what all are we going to be doing? Setting up cars and stuff like that?
We're going to help people park.
Cool.
Chat with them. Keep them hydrated.
Nice.
Have a big tent out front. Mega fans.
Nice.
Not people to cheer us on, but fans for cooling.
Oh, right. All right, so... What was the first car you ever sold?
Yeah, 1997. I still remember the customer's name. It was a purple Pontiac Sunfire.
Wow, I'm gonna have to pull that up while I edit, see what that looks like.
Sunfire, I think, was the Pontiac equivalent to a Cavalier back in the day.
My first car was to a school teacher. It was a Suzuki L7 SUV or something. I don't know. I was pretty proud of it.
Sure. I still. And then a funny story with me is my first day, I sold that car, and then I didn't know that you were supposed to get it cleaned and gassed and all that. I just talked to the next guy, and back then we wore ties each day, and it was ceremonious to
cut the tie.
Yeah. So I was walking around, like a fool, which I don't need a lot of help doing. And I walked outside and said hi to a guy who lived in the neighborhood I grew up in. And I remember his name. And this was back in 97. And he ended up buying a brand new Pontiac Grand Prix same day. So two cars, first day, I felt like, hey, maybe this is what I'm going to do for a while.
So how did you end up on the car lot selling cars?
On the old car lot. So fresh out of Clemson, I was basically worked for a life insurance brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
And... kind of a job, mm-hmm. And then I waited tables and I also worked in the accounting for the weekend at the restaurant. I waited tables. So I was doing double duty, just trying to figure it out as a young man. And my roommate was in finance at a car dealership. And quite frankly, I never had any interest in selling cars. I didn't like the stigma attached to it.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I thought I was too cool for it. I don't really know. But long story short, he was doing quite well, and I was not afraid of work. I mean, I have good work ethic, still do, thankfully. And so I knew that it would take a lot. And back then, we were open Sundays included. So I would work many seven-day weeks. But I gave it a shot, and I'm thankful I did.
Yeah. And just like you said, there's a stigma, and that's one thing that stuck out about you. Like people get referrals, for coming to work somewhere. I got referrals to come work somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And a lot of people were like, hey, you got to go work for Martin. He's a great guy. I came here to talk to you. I was comfortable selling Hondas. I knew I was going to sell a lot of Hondas. I talked to the Honda guys. They're going to hire me. And as I'm leaving, I talked to one of your customers that I didn't even know it was your customer. Okay. He's like, you got to go work for Martin. He's a great guy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot in my hometown. And like you said, you do things a little different. And it's a really, really cool thing that we've got going on here with just upfront honesty and really taking care of people.
Yeah, it's just a different culture. I worked in big stores in Charlotte, and I knew what kind of culture I wanted to build here with help of our team. And I would say 21 years later, we're where I want to be. Yeah. I'm thankful for it. People in local restaurants are happy to see us, not, there's the car guy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I think we've hit a bit of a home run on culture, and the culture is, like you said, is real transparent. Mm-hmm. It's quick. Nobody wants to run back and forth for 4 hours if they can do it in 15 minutes. And it's easy.
Yeah. One of the last cars that I bought before I got in the car business again was at CarMax. And I think I was there all day long, which was crazy.
So CarMax, and not to put anybody down, but I mean, they're non-negotiable, and they preach, here's the car, here's the price, it's a good price. Well, we do all that too.
Right.
We've been doing that probably before CarMax was even created. I guess that's a 20, 25-year-old venture. Yeah. But, they do well, for sure. We just do it on a smaller scale with a personal touch.
Yeah.
And that just changes the game. And then, of course, we have a service facility, especially on new Chevrolets. And, people love our guys back there.
I swear, I tell everybody, I'm like, people are coming from Charlotte and Rock Hill just to get their oil changed.
Right.
You know what I mean? That stands out. That stands, especially to me, coming back here. And I was really comfortable where I was at. And but this culture is a little, it's like my speed. I really like it.
Yeah.
It was pulling teeth to when somebody came back with a problem the next day. It was pulling teeth sometimes to get that problem taken care of. And I go to you, you're like, take care of it, whatever.
Yeah, you can replace the car. You can't replace the customer.
Right.
And, whatever it takes to keep that customer happy, because if they can't enthusiastically refer us, mm-hmm. then we've messed up totally. It's really simple. It's an idea of service. And if you serve the folks and make things simple, then they will come back to you, because I sell things. In our case, our widget or automobiles, but I do that exactly like I want to be treated if I go buy something.
Right. Now, I didn't want to make this a whole big commercial.
Well, we're off and running.
Yeah. So we got that out of the way for the people until they start falling off here in a little bit.
Yeah.
The listeners,
don't press delete yet. We're gonna say some funny stuff.
Right. So, all right, you grew up in Charlotte.
Yep.
Your family's from Charlotte.
Yep.
All right, and you went to Clemson. Was that like the school you picked, or how?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Literally, I went to school not for a major or not for my future. I knew I wanted to be in sales. I mean, marketing was my major, but I literally was a huge Clemson fan as a youth. And then I went to basketball. I wasn't a football player. I was a basketball player. So I went to basketball camp down there, and I was kind of sold on it. I was thankful to get into Clemson. You never really know. And I certainly don't have the credentials at this point in my life with as competitive as college is. But I'll never forget, we walked in on a tour, and the head of our upper school at the school I attended in Charlotte walked in and hugged the admissions director. And I'm like, I've got a chance. So I was literally between playing small college basketball, which I probably, looking back, was not good enough to do that, or at least not to start. So I just chose the school that I've always loved, and it worked out well for me.
That's cool. I mean, football season's coming up, so I don't. What are we gonna do that day they play?
Well, that's the day. What is that? 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I guess we won't talk.
Yeah.
I won't look at you in the eye.
It's gonna be awkward.
Yeah.
I just just thought of that. But that's cool, man. So I was here for like couple of weeks before I realized that you're married to the boss's daughter.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get that. But how did y'all meet?
Yeah, so oddly enough, I met April on a blind date, and if you ever see her, you would realize that she is blind. But we met in Charlotte. My boss, who brought me in the car business, Introduced me to April. April's dad, Fred Caldwell, had owned a store, or a couple stores, but most recently in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. So we went out on a, you know, just met at a place in Charlotte, and that was that. And then I never really wanted to, or never saw myself working in the small market. Mm-hmm. You know, Charlotte was great. I was from there. I went to high school there. I knew a lot of people.
It's hard to bring guys out of Charlotte. Like, Charlotte boys, like, I knew some guys up there, and they're like, when I brought them down here, they're like, there's no street lights.
Yeah. You know?
So it's a little different down here for sure.
Yeah. So the good thing is when you work in Charlotte, you know a lot of people.
Right.
So your clientele, my biggest concern with coming to Clover was simply, would my clientele travel? Mm-hmm. And obviously now we kind of send cars to people, go pick their cars up for service, make it really valet type service. But that was my biggest concern. And also, you know, working in a small market, working with family, when I had a great situation in Charlotte and enjoyed the heck out of it. But it was a good move. I'm glad I did it. And it's been, like I said, this is my 21st year in Clover. Clover, incredible culture, incredible people, easy to relate to. And it's also easy to make a difference in the community. I mean, not to continue on the commercial stuff, but my favorite day of the year is giving the Teacher of the Year a car, quite frankly.
I was kind of looking forward to that. I'm glad I was a part of that. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But, yeah, the word on the street is Martin's a good dude. You know, I'm out here as much as I can.
Hey, man, I've already hired you.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep talking.
Well, no, I mean, I could embellish, but no, it's cool, man. I appreciate you coming on doing this with me.
Yeah. So the way we met, if the folks are interested, is one of your high school friends who worked with us for a bit.
He's going to listen to this.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So well,
he's heard all my nonsense before, but basically, I mean, he said, hey, you got a guy who's doing some great things in New York. He's moving back. And actually, I mean, I don't think I've ever held a position for somebody, but I literally kind of waited on you to show up, and it's worked out swimmingly, and your social media stuff is great, to continue to put stuff out there.
Yeah, and that was another reason. Like, you know, I was used to kind of a big store, and I was like, man, I just want to be myself. And this was like, hey, coming back to Clover, it's so cool because I'm posting cars on Facebook, and people I've friended, you know, some I haven't seen in 20 years or messaging me, hey, man, I see you're up at the store up there. What do you want for this car right here? And I'm like, hey, that's awesome, you know? And it's a weekly thing. It's pretty
cool. It's like it's like a family reunion for you.
So you've got a daughter.
I do.
Who's doing, like, I'm overhearing what y'all talking about, her being in D.C. and everything. That is incredible. Like, I've got daughters. I don't know how crazy if they're going to go to D.C. or anything like that, but they're doing great. My daughter, my Liliana, she's talking about going into the Navy, which would be really cool because she is athletic and very energetic.
I know.
I think she'll do all right. And my son's, he's playing some football this year. He's got a game in a couple weeks, the little 8U, he's out there practicing right now. It's awesome that we're sponsors of the Blue Eagle football thing.
Yeah. We're the first down sponsors. So if you go to a Blue Eagle game, you're going to hear a lot of the first downs brought to you by us. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that. When I was up north, man, we would go to the football games, and it was really sad. You know, they didn't even have marching bands. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, Clover's a level up for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm excited about being back for sure. A lot of the sports stuff, man. I couldn't watch. I had to watch. I had to watch the Bills play all the time. You know, I'm like, I can't catch a Panthers game for anything, which was fine at the time. You know,
yeah.
Well, maybe this year and we'll do a little better. Yeah. But you know, I see my Gamecocks play too. But
they're pretty good.
Yeah. So when y'all came here, y'all redesigned the store and everything.
Oh, geez.
You sent me a picture.
Yeah. So when I came here, it had a green awning that said Clover Chevrolet out front. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, maybe 5-6 years into my tenure here, they GM had an image program where they wanted all of the dealerships to look, you know, coordinated. And so they kind of helped us as we invested.
Oh,
and that's what you see now. We bumped the showroom out 10 or 15 feet.
Yeah.
maybe a little more, and then the blue columns and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And we're having luck selling stuff off the showroom floor, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is funny. You know, back in the old days, you would hear people say, I bought it right off the showroom floor.
Yeah.
And heck, when it's 150 degrees out here or it's raining like it's been monsooning lately, mm-hmm. it's kind of nice to show somebody a car in the AC and dry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we have a nice model inside, it seems like, well, we sold them all.
Dang. So, all right, so let's go back to when you were in sales, because I want to know this.
I'm still in sales.
Just the sales guy, because it's not fair to answer this the other way.
Yep.
What was your biggest month? How many cars did you kick out the most?
29, I think, on South Boulevard. Yep.
That's impressive.
29. I probably average around 20. I don't know if I ever broke 30 in Charlotte. I don't remember. It's been a while. That's 20. Yeah, because I was promoted a couple times in Charlotte when I came off the floor. So that's literally been 26 years since I've, something like that.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, I'm old.
You don't look it.
No.
And you don't act it. No.
Well, I just had hair and makeup, and I'm very immature.
Yeah. So, also, you have got some style. I know that Charlotte gets down like that, but where did that come from?
Yeah, so, well, Chuck, when I started, I decided that I was going to try to change the car business perception one customer at a time. And I wore a suit and tie for the first probably six years of my career. So back then you would have a truck come by and they could fit you for a suit.
Oh, really?
Literally, I would go into an air conditioned truck and buy a suit when I had a good week or a good month.
Right.
And so I added to that collection. And then my boss, who introduced me to April, also was, you know, he subscribed to the Rob Report that had some cool materialistic stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do think and believe in, look good, even if you don't. But if you feel like you do, or you look your best, I do think you are your best. Yeah. And I think the way you carry yourself and the way you dress, and I think that's all important. The quality of the individual is much more important than what their threads look like.
Right.
But I think it all flows.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. And that's... And we were talking about Grant Cardone and stuff like
that.
Right. He talks about that the way he's like, don't save the money, go out there and get you something nice and show up.
Well, I paid my own money to see Grant Cardone's when he was just his sales training, when he was simply in automotive sales training.
Okay.
And he would he said reinvest in yourself. Mm-hmm. I heard a lady recently talking. And her tagline was, bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's going to do this stuff for you.
Right.
So you may as well invest in yourself, invest in training. If, have a clothing budget, don't go finance a nice suit. But, reinvest in yourself.
Right.
And, I'm a church-going guy, too, so I always wear a sport coat at minimum to church. And, that's important to me. Is important to everybody else? It's not. Yeah.
Well, I dig it. And, one day when I get in better shape, I'm going to start investing some nice.
You're probably about a 50. I think I'm a 44 jacket.
Yeah. It's all the guns, dude.
Yeah, I don't have any of that.
And that's another thing. I like the fact that you were getting up. We're talking about doing the ice bath thing. You're high caliber, dude, and in a really, really good way. Like, you come in with a positive energy. Only time I've seen you get mad is at Banks. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's you've got a real positive energy.
Well, it's also easy to do that when your staff is right.
Yeah.
We walk in here and our staff is correct for the most part. And I think it's infectious.
Yeah.
So, why not be in a good mood? I mean, I have a lot to be thankful for. You don't have to look very far to find it tough out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of living a bit of an American dream. I feel, and why not be thankful for it?
Yeah. I mean, I like coming to work.
I don't dread coming to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never on time. I'm always early.
Yeah.
We've got a guy driving from Greenville in the morning. We open at 8:30. He'd rather meet at 8:00. I'll be here to meet him. It's nothing to it.
I mean, I love the last dealership I was at, but there was some guys that just didn't show up in a good mood.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, and that's another thing, too. You never know what people have going on in their life. So I think they need to see a positive light, you know, until a bank turns down a deal and then calls me to tell me why they turned down the deal.
Yeah.
I don't get too fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to say any names or anything.
Well, I didn't say which bank.
Yeah. I won't either.
It happens. But yeah, we do that indirect lending. So all you do is just basically type deals over and they approve or decline them. But mm-hmm. yeah, you know, sometimes there's some room for negotiation, but yeah. So you caught me yesterday on a double whammy. I'm glad you didn't video.
No. But I saw it in your eyes.
I'm a competitor. Mm-hmm. You know, we are judged by our sales volume, especially yeah. on the Chevrolet side. And I like to be at the top of the page when we can. And it's, you know, maybe that comes from the basketball days, but
yeah.
You know, competition is healthy, and if you don't care, then you're no good anyway. So,
all right. So, you've been in the car business for quite a while.
Yeah.
What is some of the major changes that you've seen just recently with social media and stuff like that?
I mean, the biggest change ever was internet.
Yeah.
And actually, the internet was good for us because we were already transparent.
Right.
Right. So back in the old days, a guy who does what I do would sit in the back office. You would take Chuck and you would jog him back and forth all day mm-hmm. until somebody was happy. But the truth is, if both sides aren't happy with the deal, it's really not worth making. And also a level of trust has to occur for a transaction to take place.
Right.
So why not get to that quickly?
Yeah.
And I just never understood, if we can knock it out early, why spend all day?
Yeah.
That the biggest change I've ever seen is the internet, but I'd say that helped us. Social media wise, you know, it's funny you say this because I was just talking to a pretty high level influencer yesterday who's in Charlotte, and I mean, I'm considering working out a deal with an influencer. That's only social media, you know, 300,000 nice. Followers, right?
Oh wow!
Yeah. So, and then of course we support a Clemson quarterback who drives a truck and from us and has 100-something thousand followers. So it's funny how you monetize that and how you put value on that, whereas traditional media was just, you know, TV. Well, it started with newspaper,
mm-hmm.
Then TV and radio, which we still do some of the traditional stuff because I find that important. But, yeah, social media is mostly free if the content is generated by you or by us.
Yeah.
But then if you have this extra reach available and the demographic fits what we do, then why not consider it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people. I had some guys stop in the other day. They hear you on the radio. It's like you advertise on the radio. Radio is still alive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people listen to the radio. And there's also, if they don't listen to, like, traditional, you know, country music, they might go to, you know, streaming mm-hmm. Or whatever. And there's ways to hit those people there. But, yeah, that's, I mean, geez, I guess. It's, once again, 20-some years ago. I had this crazy idea, talk about transparency, to put mm-hmm. my cell phone in an advertisement on yeah. the radio. And that might be one of the best moves I've ever done marketing-wise. Because, one, you can track if it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And, two, I mean, people don't believe it's your cell phone, first of all.
Right.
Because who does that? But I was, once again, it's like, if you're transparent, why wouldn't you be fully transparent?
And I'm going to... So I started studying sales too, you know, when I got back into it. And then when I realized I was wanting to get back into car sales, I went in heavy on like Andy Elliott and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he said that you got to be the one, like a lot of people are calling around different dealerships and doing all that.
Right.
They said, just like you said, being transparent, he said, give out the most information as possible, you know. So if somebody's calling, they're asking you about price and everything, you got to give them information. You can't be trying to trick them to come in.
Yeah, but people call or show up for information. So I used to call it information overload. Just give them everything mm-hmm. they yeah. could possibly ask for as opposed to withholding information. You know, and we were trained back in the 90s, you know, walk outside, talk about the weather, your favorite sports team. Well, you don't build a rapport that way. Yeah. Nowadays, you build rapport by being a professional and adding value by way of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I see our business.
Yeah. I know you've got...
Are the people going to get bored with this commercial?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
So give me your favorite car joke. Huh?
Wow. I'm usually pretty quick to respond. I don't know if I've got a car joke.
Well, I heard your interview on the radio with those other guys, and you said you had some car jokes. I was like, well, I got to find out what those
are. No, I don't know if I have any car jokes. I guess I've got, you know, quick comebacks at times because sarcasm runs in my blood. I remember there's a biblical one, something about what do they drive back in the – back in the Old Testament, and there's a verse I can't remember. It's all in one accord. So there's your Honda joke for your old school. But I didn't set that up or execute it at all.
I don't know, but I'm laughing.
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate goal of the joke, right?
Wow. So you live in Cramerton now?
I've been in Cramerton for 22 years. No, 23 years. Yep. So, been married for 23 years.
So when you first rolled in the Clover, what was your initial impression?
Okay, well, the first time I've ever been to Clover, we played a basketball game in this Clover when I was in high school in Charlotte.
Okay.
And, but when I came down here to look at the store, I probably rode with Fred, because, you know, I was in the car business, and Fred, when he's considering buying it, I probably rode down here and looked at it, and I was shocked.
Yeah.
It seemed a long way from Charlotte. The last 20 years, massive spillover, population growth, ridiculous school system, real estate's out of control. Mm-hmm. They're building fast, putting a lot of heat on that said school system. But yeah, I thought that it might be a little small market, and it's kind of the same way when I walked into a store on Independence to start my first day. I was wondering, how in the world am I going to sell 20 or 30 cars a month? Do people even buy that many cars in Charlotte? Right. And they did. And so down here, it was just... It looked very small. That's all I can say. You know, it doesn't look at all like it did back then.
Yeah, yeah. And,
but neither did Charlotte.
Yeah, and which was when I was doing the stairs, I mean, you could see Charlotte just growing. I mean, mm-hmm. all around 485 in every direction. I mean, I was everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, just the commute. I mean, like, if I was, because when I was working in Charlotte and living in Clover, I mean, golly, dude, the commute is outrageous.
Yeah, so my commute was Cramerton to South Boulevard. Really wasn't that big a deal when 485 was installed. But my commute here is like 25 minutes, and it's glorious. Yeah. It's I see cows in the back roads,
yeah,
and I see real estate coming up, and I see farmhouses coming up. So it's easy. And I, quite frankly, I prefer a commute. I wouldn't want to live 2 minutes away from the store.
Right.
I use that time to talk to friends, to listen to a podcast, to unwind on the way home.
Yeah.
You know,
I live like 5 minutes away, so I get like one song or something, like 5 minute dose of.
You should probably take a scooter home or something so you can decompress.
I told you, I'm going to probably, once I trade this thing in, I'm going to get a golf cart. I think that'll increase my time.
Yeah, especially in rainy days. It'd be incredible.
Rainy days, I'll have a poncho. My earbuds in. Or my earbuds.
No, you'll have Bluetooth in this thing. It'll be awesome. Like that one outside is Bluetooth.
Right. I want the exact one.
That's all right. Well, we'll hang on to it for a couple of years.
So, anyways, what year did you graduate from Clemson?
94. 1994.
I was a little Rudy Poo down in Kynard over there.
You're Kynard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Kynard. I went to the middle school right here at where the football stadium is.
Right.
Then we had the junior high, 7th and 8th grade, where the 9th grade academy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then I went on to high school. And that's it.
Then I went to what does that make you? Are you 40?
No, I'm 39.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, 14 years.
Yeah.
And so you're in a different generation.
Yeah.
That's why we don't relate well.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of do. We kind of do. So what is your role at Clemson now again?
I was lucky enough to be appointed to something called the Board of Visitors.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so basically it's just fun, right? You get to hear from the president and the administrators, athletic director, a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But it was originally done back in, I think it was 1905 or something. It it was a group of people, the visitors, if you will, mm-hmm. would come and talk to students and visit the campus just to see what the students thought about, you know, student life.
Right.
And they would report back to the president of the university or whatever. So, yeah, so it's kind of, it's fun.
It's a traditional thing.
It is. Yeah. And we want to be a mouthpiece and a promoter of the university. And I think everybody on that board went there, I think. And, you know, we have an away football game. This year is at Chapel Hill. So it'll be against Belichick in his first year, which will be fun. Wow. Away football game, and then we have a couple meetings through the year and a couple days worth. I mean, I enjoy a great friend group out of that.
So how'd you get the quarterback in the truck? How did that happen?
Yeah, so, well, social media happened. So let's go with about 6 years ago. My daughter and I were sitting on our porch, and I think I just installed Instagram.
Okay.
And Maddie said, hey, Dad, you have a DM. I'm not sure I knew what DM was back then.
Hey, I didn't know what DM was for a long time.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, so I said, okay, why don't you open that? It was from a guy named Brian Brisee, who was a Clemson All-American, first-round draft pick, still playing at New Orleans. So he's a saint. I guess he's in his third year. And he said, you know, I didn't know if it was him or his representation or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, I guess he saw that we had sold a couple athletes. I don't really remember. But I told him I was intrigued. I'm a Clemson guy. Now, I hope this doesn't ruin it for all our Gamecock brethren. I hope they still call you.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I'm going to –
You've got that side of the state
we'll
covered.
All right, yeah.
But, yeah, I texted him back or direct messaged him, rather, and said, I'm intrigued. Do you have representation or do I work with you? And he had representation, so I just kind of put a deal together like I used to do for a Carolina Panther. And so Brian was a really good guy. He came up to Clover and signed and did some video stuff for us, some TV commercials. And then after I knew I got to know Cade's representation, you know, because of this deal, because once you give one athlete a car, then there's going to be a lot of asking.
Yeah.
So long story short, we were in the AC championship game against North Carolina. Our quarterback was DJ Uyangalele, and he wasn't playing well. He got replaced by Cade. Cade lit up the place. And on the way home, I emailed his agent. I said, if Brian turns pro, then I'd be interested in working with Cade. And that's how that happened. And so I'm 3 years in with him, I guess.
I mean, that's cool for Clemson, you know?
It is cool. And it's also cool that, you know, we have a possible top five pick, a possible Heisman Trophy candidate who drives a truck from our store.
Man, how awkward would that be if I had him on the podcast? I'm like,
Well, you'd be a fan of him.
Yeah.
Maybe not of his team.
Yeah, no.
He's a great guy. I think Sellers is a great guy. I wonder what he's driving.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll...
Spencer Rattler had a G-Wagon, I heard.
Spencer. Yeah. I need to hit old Sellers up, see what's up.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Well, he's another Heisman candidate.
What's happening. Yeah, dude, he was awesome.
I've never seen a performance in person as a running quarterback like I saw last year, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was a. It was awesome. It was awesome for me.
It was a great game. It was a great college game.
It was a
even
great
though we're on the short end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I respect Clemson. You know, I love the guys.
Say it again.
I'm going to tell you what happened. This is exactly what happened. Half my family likes South Carolina. Half my family likes Clemson. When I was a young kid, my cousin Joe, he put on a Clemson game for me while I was, like, he was, I guess, not babysitting me, but he was laying me down. And I was looking at that. I remember the orange and outfits and all that. And I was like, man, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. Because I was big. Like, I was a little kid, you know. I was big into, like, you know, action movies and cartoons and stuff. But I remember watching that Clemson. And after that, like, I put that out, you know, out in the pasture or whatever. I got a little bit older. I didn't really follow college football or anything, but I started watching the Dallas Cowboys. This is before the Panthers came, and I was like, I liked the Dallas Cowboys a little bit. Then I went to it when the Panthers came. My mom took me up to the Panther Stadium, and that's when I was like, all right, I like the Panthers. And my dad ended up going to South Carolina, and I was like, all right, well, I like them Gamecocks. And my uncle started hitting me up, and we started. But I'm the biggest fan I am. Like, if I was going to get buried in a hat or something, it'd be Atlanta Braves.
Really?
I'm a big baseball guy. Unfortunately, we're going to miss the Braves game by one day when we go to Atlanta.
That's right.
They're playing on Sunday. I think it's their last game.
When are you going down?
No, this is for the...
I know, for the training. When are you going down?
I guess Monday. But maybe we go down Sunday.
We'll see how many cars you sell. Maybe Maybe we'll do that.
That'd be awesome.
And Uncle Greg.
Yeah, me and Uncle Greg. I can't wait. Me and Greg are going to have a time.
It's going to be special. And the whole world will see it on social media.
Yeah, I'm excited about this train. I mean, what is they're going to let us drive cars and stuff too? Like,
shoot, man, the last one I went to was a year or two ago. We drove like the ZR2 full size trucks on obstacle courses, so you see the total performance ability of a ZR2 truck.
Really?
We did that. We did Colorado. We did, I think we did a hot lap in a Corvette with a driver. But it's almost more fun to ride with a professional driver because he'll slide you through the S's.
Right.
We got to drive the EV so you could test out. You know, we drove an EV truck around the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And, you have to keep a certain speed on those high banks anyway. So that makes it pretty fun. That was an interesting trip for me. So you will eat it up.
Yes, I'm really excited about it. I mean, I love learning too. But
yeah, you are kind of a lifetime learner.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
got to be. I think I'm gonna retire from here too. I'm like really liking this situation we got.
When do you when are you planning to retire?
Maybe by 50. You know, I got a lot of cars to sell between now and then, and maybe this podcast will take off, and I'll just Joe Rogan it. But
yeah, you'll probably have to find a better guest.
Right? No, you're excellent. I got Bo Legg coming on. Hey, big time mayor.
Yeah, you know, I just spent some time with Bo the other day, and is most of your listenership, is it Clover? Is it back
up
north?
A lot of people up north still listen, and but I'm really pushing it around the area because this is what it's about now.
Yeah, so Mayor Legg is just, he's a Clover native, and he has massive energy.
Yeah.
And like the other day, we had a little event uptown, and he was like, you guys go ahead and leave. I'll clean up. And we're like, I mean, he's a man of the people, and he will treat everything correctly. I knew Bo from car sales long before he was mayor, but it's just, I think he's a fantastic leader, and he'll serve this community because he cares so much about it.
Yeah, they've got the city council elections coming up, and I got a couple of the candidates wanting to come on.
Okay.
And talk about why they want to run. You know, exciting.
Sure. I think the challenges of our town here is, is simply the speed of the growth.
Yes.
And, obviously, population for us, more people moving here, is better for our business.
Right.
But I also understand that it puts a lot of heat on the schools. And, we've got two new schools going up now, the high school and elementary down towards Lake Wylie.
Yeah.
And so that'll put 12 or 13 schools in the district. And then it's kind of like the roads, once you finish one project, it's time for another.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be a tough job to manage. And I think our school district and our town does it quite well together as we, also revitalize downtown. I mean, it's really growing nicely.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I want to talk, because I'm noticing, that people are using the word revitalize, but some people are kind of like don't know what that means,
Yeah, well, I think that you can see some buildings that look like they need rehabbed.
Yeah.
And I know they've done a couple, and it's no different than what you see in Charlotte. If you start driving out, we're driving away from Charlotte downtown in any direction, you'll see, as there's no more land to be given in Charlotte, you'll see just improvements on real estate. It does put a lot of pressure on other people too. So managing that and keeping everybody happy is impossible.
Yeah.
But I think overall they pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, you got these old buildings, but they're just bringing them back to life. You know, they're, you know, they've got.
Right. The old buildings usually have good bones.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, people love tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to get my hair cut or something like that. And now it's a restaurant downtown. People like that. Mm-hmm. And you can keep downtown looking similar while improving it. And it looks like, what I've seen, it looks like there's been some nice movement.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's not like they're putting up brand new buildings.
Yeah, we're not putting up skyscrapers.
Right.
But there, I mean, I think there's a call for retail residential all around here. And you also look at, and I keep harkening back to the school district because I care about it. And, you know, you need draws for teachers. And most teachers, you know, that are hired are coming out of school.
Yeah.
And so if you have some action for them in town and there's some more retail downtown and there's places to live downtown, you know, that's exciting for young people. Matter of fact, my only regret in my living where I've lived is I thought it'd be cool to live in an urban environment, you know, before kids. Right.
Yeah, right.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of the cool thing about being here too, being at this dealership is it being at any dealership that's in any town is you get to kind of meet everybody and be a part of that. You know, I don't know how to explain it.
It's not hard to find a way to volunteer
right.
and jump into this culture. It's a fantastic place. You know, I spend a lot more time here than I do at home. I'm much more involved here than I am at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic place. So, if you're hearing this, you don't live in Clover, come on down.
Yeah. Come check us out.
Come get your truck from Chuck right here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're going to wrap it up right here.
We're done.
Yeah. We're going to be
done. That seemed quick.
Yeah. 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. 41, 42.
Wow.
I got to put this together.
Splice out the tough parts.
Yeah, I like them. I'm leaving it all in there.
Yeah, it's been fun, Chuck. And I'm glad to have you here, and I'm glad you got this following. And I think people know, whether it's, you know, in your business or in life, you won't let anybody down. What you are is what you are. Mm-hmm. The only time you've let me down, quite frankly, is when you lost your last boxing match. But we're going to come. You're going to literally. You know, just like life, we're going to get off the mat and go hit somebody again, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got back on my feet.
Yeah, you didn't get knocked down, did you?
I got knocked down twice, but I got back up twice. The ref stopped it.
Okay? But that's stuff that I always preach to, you know, if you're never knocked down, you know, you don't know how to get back up.
Yeah.
And if your life is always good, then it's there's no growth from that.
Yeah.
But that's a good challenge for you. I'm not getting into the boxing. I could be the manager, like a world wrestling manager.
Right.
We pick the spot with the crib, we grab a few drinks and we hit the floor. A shorty piled up, grabbed me by the shirt and said, "Is she want some more?" And I said, "And this she is, swinging my hands, singing and dancing, saying you the man." And this she was, now I got her hooked, asking about the hotel I booked.